Chapter 1. Reflections. We avoid. Sarah Chen had perfected the art of living without mirrors. Her morning routine ran with military precision. Shower with eyes closed during the rinse, dress by touch and memory, apply minimal makeup using the distorted reflection in her phone's black screen. The bathroom mirror stayed covered with a vintage Japanese screen, a gift from her grandmother that she'd repurposed for survival rather than decoration. Each morning brought the same internal battle, the temptation to look, to test herself, whispered from behind the silk-painted cranes, just once. Maybe today will be different. But Sarah had learned to distrust that voice. It sounded too much like the one from her dreams, the one that promised answers she wasn't ready to hear. The fear had roots deeper than simple phobia. Other people with mirror anxiety could still catch glimpses, could handle the distorted reflections in spoons or car windows. Sarah's reaction was visceral. Her heart would race, her vision would blur, and sometimes if she looked too long, she'd see things that couldn't possibly be there. Movement where there should be stillness, eyes that followed when they should remain fixed, faces that weren't quite her own. Dr. Martinez called it a manifestation of trauma, the mind's way of protecting itself from whatever had happened that night 21 years ago. But protection felt more like prison when you had to navigate a world made of glass and chrome, when your own reflection became the enemy. At 28, she'd organized her entire life around this careful blindness. Her apartment held no reflective surfaces beyond the necessary, no glass coffee tables, no polished picture frames, no stainless steel appliances. Even her laptop bore a matte screen protector that killed any chance of catching her own gaze. The irony wasn't lost on her. An architect who specialized in modern glass structures, afraid of her own reflection. Her therapist called it isolated specular phobia, a fancy term for mirror fear that sounded less pathetic than it felt. Dr. Martinez had theories about childhood trauma, about dissociation and identity fragmentation. Sarah had simpler words for it. Mirrors felt wrong. Always had, since that night when she was 7, though the memory itself remained frustratingly vague, like trying to recall a dream after waking. She grabbed her portfolio and headed for the door, checking her appearance one final time in the warped surface of her brass doorknob. Professional enough. The charcoal blazer and black slacks formed her armor, the uniform that said competent, creative, controlled. Everything she needed to be for today's presentation. The apartment felt smaller each day, despite its generous square footage. She'd chosen the corner unit specifically for its north-facing windows, natural light without the glare that created unwanted reflections. The hardwood floors were deliberately scuffed, their matte finish refusing to hold images. Even the refrigerator was an ancient white model she'd found at an estate sale, its surface pocked with years of use. The space felt more like a sanctuary than a home, every design choice serving function over form. The October morning bit sharp through her jacket as she walked the 6 blocks to Chen & Associates, the firm she'd joined fresh from MIT, back when she'd thought working for a company that shared her surname meant destiny rather than coincidence. No relation to the founding partners, just cosmic humor that she'd ended up designing for the very type of buildings that challenged her daily. The city awakened around her in layers of sound and scent. Coffee shops released their morning breath through propped open doors, mixing with the diesel exhaust from delivery trucks and the faint sweetness of fallen leaves decomposing in the gutters. Sarah had memorized this route by texture and sound rather than sight. The uneven sidewalk in front of the dry cleaners, the whistle of wind through the scaffolding at the construction site, the particular quality of echo when she passed beneath the skybridge connecting the twin office towers. She navigated by audio landmarks, keeping her eyes focused on feet and pavement, anything but the endless parade of glass storefronts that lined the commercial district. The familiar glass facade of the 40-story tower loomed ahead, its surface reflecting the city back at itself in fractured segments. Sarah kept her eyes fixed on the revolving door's brass fixtures as she entered, muscle memory guiding her through the lobby she'd traversed 1,000 times. The security guard, Marcus, gave his usual nod. "Morning, Miss Chen. Big day today? The Riverside Complex presentation." She signed in without looking at the polished granite desktop. $40 million project. You'll knock 'em dead. Though I gotta say, you look a little tired. Been pulling those all-nighters again? Marcus had worked security here for 15 years, long enough to notice patterns. Sarah appreciated his concern, even as it highlighted how visible her exhaustion had become. Just the usual pre-presentation nerves. You know how it is. I sure do. My daughter gets the same way before her piano recitals. Wants everything perfect. He handed her the visitor badge she didn't need but had to wear anyway. Just remember, you already earned the right to be in that room. They called you because you're the best. Thanks, Marcus. I needed to hear that. She smiled, hoping it looked more confident than it felt. The elevator doors slid open, brushed steel, mercifully non-reflective. She pressed 14 and leaned against the back wall, reviewing her notes on her tablet as the car rose. The familiar weight of her portfolio case grounded her. Inside were backup printouts of every slide, technical specifications for materials, contact information for contractors, even alternative design options in case the clients wanted changes. Over-preparation had become her default defense against the chaos that seemed to follow her everywhere lately. If she controlled every variable she could, maybe the ones she couldn't control would leave her alone. The presentation materials were perfect. 3 months of work distilled into 30 slides and a scale model that captured exactly what the clients wanted, a mixed-use development that would transform the abandoned warehouse district into a gleaming testament to urban renewal. Sustainable, profitable, beautiful. Everything architecture should be. The conference room was already half full when she arrived. David Kim from the development team gave her a thumbs up. Linda Martinez shuffled papers at the far end of the table. The clients, two men in identical navy suits, sat with the studied patience of people who spent their days spending other people's money. Sarah, thank God you're here. David approached with his usual caffeinated energy. Henderson's been asking technical questions about the foundation systems. I told him you'd have all the specifics. Of course, she set her portfolio on the table, careful to position herself with her back to the floor-to-ceiling windows. Any particular concerns? Soil displacement calculations, mostly. Apparently they've had issues with settling in previous developments. David lowered his voice. Linda thinks they're just being thorough, but I get the feeling they've been burned before. Sarah nodded, making mental notes. She'd anticipated this. The site survey had revealed some irregularities in the substrata. I've got contingency plans for that. We'll address it in the structural section. The conference room felt different today. Usually she found comfort in the space, the long table providing distance from reflective surfaces, the soft lighting minimizing glare. But today, the very air seemed charged with possibility and threat. She tested the projector connection twice, arranged her notes with geometric precision, and positioned the scale model at the perfect angle to catch the morning light. Sarah set up her laptop, connected to the projector, and pulled up her first slide. The model stood ready on its display platform. She was in her element now, the place where confidence came naturally. Good morning. Thank you for considering Chen and Associates for the Riverside Complex project. Her voice carried the perfect blend of authority and warmth. Today, I'll show you how we can transform 12 acres of industrial decay into a living symbol of the city's future. She clicked to the next slide, aerial views of the current site, all rust and broken windows, then the transition. Her design rising from the same footprint, glass and steel and green spaces weaving together like the comparison died in her throat. The conference room's floor-to-ceiling windows had darkened with the shift of morning clouds, turning the glass into a perfect mirror. In it, she saw herself presenting, arm extended toward the screen, professional and composed. But behind her reflection, where the conference room should have continued, something else existed. A vast space stretched out, filled with impossible architecture, buildings that folded in on themselves, stairs that climbed downward, corridors that existed in too many dimensions at once. The geometry hurt to look at, angles that couldn't exist in three-dimensional space, surfaces that curved inward and outward simultaneously. It was like seeing through the eyes of someone who had never learned the rules of physics, where up and down were suggestions rather than laws. And throughout it all, figures moved, human-shaped but wrong, their proportions shifted like images in a funhouse mirror, stretched and compressed in ways that made her stomach clench. Some were tall and impossibly thin, their limbs extending far beyond normal reach. Others were compressed, as if viewed from great distance, their features blurred together in ways that suggested faces, without actually forming them. They moved with purpose through this twisted landscape, navigating the impossible architecture as if it made perfect sense. One of them turned toward her. Sarah's breath caught in her throat. The figure stood at the far end of what might have been a corridor or might have been a room. The space seemed to shift its definition as she watched. It was more human than the others, its proportions closer to normal, but something in the way it moved spoke of fundamental wrongness, like a perfect imitation that missed some essential quality of life. Sarah's hand froze on the presentation remote. The figure in the reflection walked closer, its elongated form moving with liquid grace. It pressed against the other side of the glass, and Sarah could have sworn she felt the cold through the window. Its face was almost human, almost familiar, like looking at herself through water. "Miss Chen?" David's voice cut through the paralysis. "Are you all right?" She blinked. The window showed only the conference room, her colleagues looking at her with mild concern. The presentation had stopped on slide 3. Her heart hammered against her ribs, each beat so loud she was certain everyone could hear it. A cold sweat had broken out across her forehead, and her hands trembled imperceptibly around the presentation remote. But her voice, when it came, remained steady, a small miracle of professional conditioning. Sorry, just remembered an adjustment we need to make to the eastern facade. She clicked forward, her hands steady despite the ice in her veins. As you can see in this rendering, the words came automatically, years of practice carrying her through. She explained sight lines and foot traffic patterns, sustainable materials and ROI projections. The clients nodded, asked intelligent questions, made notes. Normal. Ordinary. Real. But part of her remained trapped in that moment of impossible vision. Her peripheral awareness cataloged every reflective surface in the room, the polished table, the picture frames, even the surface tension of untouched water glasses. Each one felt like a potential doorway, a crack in reality through which something might peer back at her. She found herself positioning her body to block certain angles of view, shifting weight and stance in ways that probably looked natural but felt like a complex choreography of avoidance. But she could feel it. That presence at the edge of her vision, waiting in every reflective surface. The laptop screen when it went dark between slides. The polished table when she leaned forward to adjust the model. The glasses of water that caught the light. Each one threatened to show her that other place, those other things. She powered through, her presentation flawless, even as her mind raced. Stress, that's all this was. 3 months of 16-hour days finally catching up. She'd take a vacation after they won the contract, somewhere with beaches and drinks with umbrellas and absolutely no mirrors. Exceptional work, Miss Chen. The older client, Henderson, she remembered, stood to shake her hand. We'll need a few days to discuss internally, but I think you can expect good news. She managed appropriate pleasantries, professional smiles, even small talk about the weather. David offered to walk the clients out, leaving her to pack up alone. She waited until their voices faded down the hall before slumping against the table. The conference room's glass wall reflected her exhaustion back at her. Just her, alone in an empty room, looking exactly as tired as she felt. Nothing else, nothing wrong. Then her reflection smiled. Sarah hadn't moved. Her face, her actual face, remained frozen in shock. But the version in the glass tilted its head, lips curving in an expression that was both sympathetic and predatory. No. The word came out as a whisper. Her reflection raised one hand and pressed it against the glass from the inside. The surface rippled like water where it touched, concentric circles spreading outward. Sarah stumbled backward, knocking into a chair. "Sarah?" Linda's voice from the doorway. "You okay? You left your..." Sarah turned toward her colleague, then back to the window. Her reflection stood normally, mimicking her shocked expression perfectly. No smile, no hand against the glass, no ripples in solid reality. "I'm fine." The lie came out steady. "Just tired." Linda held out Sarah's phone. "You left this in the lobby earlier. Marcus asked me to bring it up." "Thanks," Sarah took the phone, noting how Linda's eyes tracked to the window, then back to her with concern. You sure you're all right? You look a little pale. Just need some air. Think I'll take an early lunch. She gathered her things with forced calm, every reflective surface a threat. Her phone screen stayed carefully face down, the elevator buttons blurred in her peripheral vision. By the time she reached the street, her hands were shaking. The coffee shop on 3rd Avenue had exposed brick walls and industrial fixtures, trendy and mercifully reflection-free. Sarah ordered a triple shot latte and found a corner booth, slinging her back to the wall, safe for now. The familiar scents of roasted coffee and baked pastries should have been comforting, but today they felt like sensory overload. Every sound seemed amplified, the hiss of the espresso machine, the scrape of chairs against concrete floors, the overlapping conversations of the lunch crowd. She pressed her palms flat against the rough wooden table, using the texture to anchor herself in the present moment. This was her sanctuary, carefully chosen after weeks of scouting. The owner had installed reclaimed materials throughout, embracing an aesthetic that deliberately avoided shine. The light fixtures were matte black metal, the windows were covered with gauze curtains that diffused reflection, and even the bathroom had been designed with paper towel dispensers instead of electric hand dryers, no chrome surfaces to accidentally catch her image. Yet today, even this haven felt compromised. She found herself studying the other patrons, searching their faces for signs that they saw what she saw, felt what she felt. But they continued their ordinary conversations, typed on their laptops, read their books. Normal people living normal lives, blissfully unaware that reality might have cracks in it. Her phone buzzed, a text from an unknown number. Stop fighting what you are. The words hit her like a physical blow. How many times had she heard similar phrases in dreams she couldn't quite remember? How many therapy sessions had Dr. Martinez used those exact words, trying to get her to accept her condition instead of fighting it? She deleted it immediately, blocked the number, another buzz, different unknown number. The crossing points are opening. You can't avoid us forever. Delete. Block. Her finger hovered over the power button, but she needed the phone for work, for life, for the normal world that made sense. Crossing points. The phrase meant something, though she couldn't place what. It felt familiar in the way that half-remembered dreams felt familiar. Significant but frustratingly out of reach. She thought of her grandmother's stories, the ones she'd told in whispered Mandarin when Sarah was small. Stories about places where the world grew thin, where other things could slip through. But those were just stories. Folklore meant to teach children not to wander alone. A third buzz. This time an image. She opened it before thinking. It was a photo of her, taken moments ago in the coffee shop. But in the picture, her reflection in the window behind her showed someone else, a woman who looked like her but older, sadder, reaching out toward the camera with desperate eyes. Sarah's hands trembled as she enlarged the image. There, barely visible in the reflected woman's hand, was a folded piece of paper. She could just make out writing on it, though the words were reversed in the reflection. She screenshotted the image, opened her photo editor, flipped it horizontally. The message was clear. Find the truth about your mother. Her mother. Lily Chen, who'd vanished when Sarah was 7, the same night her mirror phobia began. The night she couldn't quite remember, no matter how many therapists she'd seen. She looked up from her phone. The coffee shop's vintage mirror behind the bar showed her staring back, but now she noticed the differences. Her reflection's clothes were slightly different, older in style, as if from decades past. Her reflection's eyes held knowledge Sarah didn't possess. And behind her reflection, barely visible in the dimness of that other place, stood a figure she recognized from old photographs. A woman with her face but 30 years older, wearing the same jade pendant Sarah's grandmother had said Lily never took off. Her mother, trapped in the mirror world, trying to reach her. Sarah stood abruptly, coffee forgotten. She had to get home, had to think, had to figure out what was happening to her. But as she turned to leave, every reflective surface in the coffee shop, windows, phone screens, the polished espresso machine, showed the same thing. Dozens of figures pressing against the boundaries between worlds, all of them watching her, all of them waiting. The crossing points were opening, the text had said. And somehow, Sarah knew with terrifying certainty that she was the key. She pushed through the door into the October afternoon, the city's glass and steel suddenly feeling less like architecture and more like a maze of portals. Every surface that caught the light might be a doorway. Every reflection might not be her own. Behind her in the coffee shop window, her reflection stayed seated at the booth, watching her leave with eyes that held secrets Sarah was only beginning to understand she needed to know. The real question wasn't what was happening to her. It was what had already happened 21 years ago that she'd been running from ever since.